This is Christy Grainer, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast, where we are interviewing some of our friends about how they have dared to believe God in their life for great things and how He has been faithful to them. We want to challenge you to dare to believe God in your life. Welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. My name is Christy Grainer, and I am so glad to welcome you here today to hear from our guest, Jeffrey Hardwick. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here tonight.
Jeffrey has a ministry called A Transforming Word in Colorado Springs, and I'm just meeting Jeffrey. He comes to us through a trusted friend, Rita, who had brought you into town to do some ministry, and we just are meeting, but it's good to talk to you because you are clearly a lover of the Lord and a man who knows how to hear the Lord.
Amen. I was excited to hear about your guys' story and how the Lord used you guys over the past few years. So I'm excited to be here and kind of share my story with your audience.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're glad that we're challenging all the listeners to touch inside their heart and hear the Lord on how they can believe God, because that's a hard thing to do, to believe God, dare to believe Him. I mean, it's easy to believe for simple things, but God does life-changing things, and it takes a risk sometimes. It's hard to believe God. So when we're learning, getting to know you just a little bit, you've dared to believe God for some pretty radical things. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about you? How did you even come to know the Lord in the first place?
I grew up in North Dakota, and I went to church and didn't really know God. I was actually afraid of Him, and eventually became a teacher for a guy who was really scared. It was kind of ironic that eventually I look back, the Lord put me into teaching and coaching. And when I became a motivational speaker for coaches and athletes, I was just getting all these success books, and somebody gave me a Gideon Bible. And so I started reading the Gideon Bible, and I was getting the truth in my heart. And then the Lord set me up, and I heard this ministry on Christian radio. And it was the first time I ever heard the gospel, and I was 29 years old. And I loved it because it was the truth. And I thought I was looking for, like, success principles, but I was actually looking for the truth. And obviously we know the truth is Jesus. And
so were you kind of looking for success principles in the Bible? Is that what
I was? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was. And you found probably a lot of success principles in the Bible, but because along with that, you got the truth of who God is.
Amen. The Lord set me up big time, and I didn't even know it, which was amazing. So I listened to 2 months of altar calls and I didn't understand it. Again, I had a fear problem. And then one Sunday night, the Lord had told Keith Brown, the guy sitting behind me, that you're going to lead him to Christ. So he was couldn't wait for the service to end. And as soon as it was done, I literally turned around and just asked him questions like, do you have to go up front? Do you have to go in the back? And all, no, not at all. And so then he finally asked me the question. Nobody had ever asked me this question before. Do you want to accept Christ in your heart? And at that time, yes, I did. And I literally felt something change on the inside. And I know now that I went from darkness to light. And then about a month later, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, and then somebody gave me a study Bible, which was awesome because it had all the notes on the bottom, and I didn't even read the Bible when I was a kid.
You know what I think is neat? What you said is the Lord set you up to be a teacher. That's your gifting. That's what you were created to do, but you didn't even know the Lord. However, even people who don't know the Lord, He knows them, because He created them. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord was faithful to direct your path even when you weren't necessarily cooperating with Him, even when you weren't necessarily even recognizing Him as God? Mm-hmm. He still directed your path.
He did, and He still is. And the cool part is that once people learn how to trust God and learn that you can discern His voice between your own voice, yes, He's going to put you out there, and you definitely need to believe Him. You need to get to the place where you trust Him. And God said in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. One day I asked the Lord, I said, well, how do I trust you with all my heart? He goes, stop leaning on your own understanding. It's like, okay. But I'm still working through that. Even this year, it's been a big trust step this year. And the Lord's opened up many doors. And He just wants me to believe for much bigger things, for sure.
Cool. So you are a man who has prophetic ministry, which includes hearing from the Lord, giving encouraging words, all that type of thing. Mm-hmm. How did you figure out that you had a gifting to do that? How did that come alive in your life?
I would just get promptings on the inside. And I haven't shared this much, but before I was even saved, I was a teacher in the Wichita School District. And there were times I would get words of knowledge. And I remember one time there's a third grade teacher sitting next to me, and I just looked at her and said, "Are you pregnant?" She goes, "Yeah, we just found out last night." It's like, how did I know that? And so the Lord was just giving me words of knowledge for people. I would just know things that was going to happen. But then I had to have enough courage to start sharing those words with other people. And when I start doing that, then I was really blessed. But when I ended up going to Bible college in Colorado Springs, during break time, we'd have about 10 to 20 minute break. The Lord would just highlight somebody, and I'd just go over there and I'd give them like a 1 or 2 minute word. And a lot of times they were just weeping. And so the Lord, you know, really stretched me, because a lot of times I didn't even know these people. And so it really blessed them big time. And the first time the Lord gave me a quote stretch word is when I gave a word to, his name is Jeff. And I said, "Does animation mean anything to you?" And his jaw just dropped, because he said, "I've been doing animation since seventh grade." Mm. And at that time he goes, "Okay, I believe you hear God now."
So you really weren't trained up to hear God by anyone except the Lord.
True.
The Holy Spirit taught you what your gift was. Mm-hmm. Were you rooted in the Word of God at that point and learning that way? Or how did that work for you?
When I did get that study Bible, the Lord taught me to just read the Word out loud. And so I remember just like laying on the couch, looking up, and just talking with Holy Spirit and just asking Him questions. And just like, okay, what did this scripture mean?
So like, were you out loud asking questions, or were you just...
No, I would say it out loud.
You would say it out loud?
I would ask, and it's like, so what does this mean? And then I just listen inside, and He'd tell me. And then Jesus was there. And so since He's with me, I said, okay, Jesus, what was it like with your disciples?
So did you feel Jesus, see Jesus? I mean, what was that like having Jesus there?
I just hear that still small voice on the inside. I know He's the Prince of Peace, so I really feel His peace. It's one of the favorite feelings I have, is just experiencing His peace. And I have seen Him. There's been a couple times where He's brought me to heaven, and I've seen things up there, and it's amazing. You know, you just want to linger there for a while.
I love that you kind of are addicted to the peace of God. You love it.
You know why?
Why?
My name is Jeffrey, and it means heavenly peace.
Nice.
So, like, people sense the peace that I carry. I'm not like when I used to be a basketball coach, yelling and screaming. That was not my true identity. My true identity is just a peaceful guy to bring peace where there's chaos.
So if there is somebody listening right now who doesn't have a lot of peace in their life and is struggling with being anxious or depressed or just not feeling peace, what would you recommend to them as a way to find that peaceful place you found?
A couple things. One, the Lord just showed me, was they need to change their focus, because what they're magnifying is the problem or the chaos in their life. The second thing the Lord just showed me was to behold Him, to behold Jesus, because He is the Prince of Peace. And so when you shift your focus, that's when you start experiencing peace. And then the other thing that the Lord showed me recently is just to have people just speak to their minds and just say, "Peace be still." And I remember many times people would just like email me back. It's like, I did that and it worked. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times we just allow the chaos in our life. We don't speak the peace that God gave. Think about when Jesus stood up in the boat and He said, "Peace be still." He said, "Shalom." And the word shalom in the Hebrew means to destroy the authority of the fastening of chaos.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, to destroy the authority of the fastening of chaos. So there was chaos going with the winds and the water, and there's a song where it talks about even the winds and the water obey Him. Mm-hmm. Well, we have that same authority, and so we need to start exercising that authority so that we can have peace in our home. Why did Jesus tell the disciples to say peace when they walk in? Peace, peace, or shalom, shalom.
And so if someone is experiencing a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of lack of peace, you recommend they speak peace into their life. And do they spiritually do anything, or just kind of speak it out? Or how do you recommend they find
that shalom peace?
That shalom peace.
Yeah. Part of it is you need to say it. The second thing is you study about the peace in the scriptures. The more that you study it, the more that you are going to magnify. And the Lord showed me that what you magnify, you manifest in your life. So a lot of times, because I had problems with anxiety and depression and fear in the past. And so when I magnify it, it just manifests in my life. And I remember just this last week, the Lord showed me that, what was it? Who you behold will be magnified or manifest in your life. Well, obviously we want to behold Jesus and magnify him because that's our true source of our peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So you went to Bible college.
Yes.
And what was that like for you? Or can you tell us more about that? Let's back up a little bit more. How did you know you wanted to go to Bible college? You lived in lovely Minnesota.
I did, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Uh-huh. I did. And I just believe I had a call in my life for ministry. I went through many, many jobs, didn't like them, paid the bills, but I just knew that I had a calling. I knew that I wanted to teach. And boy, was I immature when I started teaching, and because I didn't know what I know now. And so when I heard about the Bible college in Colorado Springs, the Lord told me, go and I will provide. It's like, okay. And so I remember getting a ride down from St. Cloud to the Minneapolis airport. I had two bags of luggage, a one-way plane ticket, and less than $100. But I had a word from God, and he said, go and I'll provide. In fact, when I got to the Minneapolis airport, one of my bags was too heavy, and I had a Strong's Concordance in there. So I'd literally leave the Strong's Concordance on the counter. And then I was able to check in. What's that?
That would be painful.
It was, because I really liked the Strong. I mean, this was 10 years ago. It's not
you
like we
go
had
online.
An app.
Yeah,
exactly. So that was a sacrifice for me. But boy, I had such a peace. In fact, when I was flying out here, there was a farmer from Iowa that was sitting two seats from me. And we were just chatting, and he kept just taking a tissue and just wiping his because his tear ducts would always. And so I prayed for him. And about 30 minutes later, he goes, hey, it stopped leaking.
Oh,
you know,
awesome.
Which was awesome. So when I landed in Colorado Springs, I just looked at the mountains because obviously in North Dakota, Minnesota, there's no mountains compared to when you get to Colorado Springs. I got out there and I could just feel the peace of God, like, yeah, I'm in the right place. So I had a place to stay for the weekend, but when I went to college the first day, I asked the receptionist, you know, did anybody sponsor me? And she goes, let me check. So I went down to the break room to find a job, a place to stay, a car, all that stuff. And then she came back. She said, I'm sorry, Jeffrey, nobody did. And it's like, well, what do I do? She goes, well, just go through the registration office and quote by faith, you know, trust God will provide for you. I'm thinking, yeah, you work here, lady. That's easy for you to say. So I did. I went in there and I was filling out paperwork by faith. And then there was a student that came up to me and somebody had given him a check for me. And it was for $1,560, and that paid for my first semester in books and fees. And then I just started weeping. And long story short, the Lord provided the full tuition for that whole school year. So that was, you talk about dare to believe. I mean, I was putting myself out there, but I was putting God out there to prove himself as trustworthy and faithful.
And he was.
He was, and he still is today.
Mm-hmm. So did you find a place to stay and a job?
I did. I found a part-time job, and I got a place to stay for free. They just let me come
right
and stay.
Right that first day?
No, it took a few weeks, to be honest with you. I went through a few places before I finally found a place. And what happened was the first day of school, a third-year student was driving me around, and he was on the phone calling people that he knew, just asking, do you have a room? Do you have a room? Well, he ended up contacting this pastor, and the pastor was having a meeting with this lady, and he had told this third-year student, it's like, just send him to the Salvation Army or Red Cross. And it broke that lady's heart because it's like, this is a minister. This is someone coming to Bible college. So her and her husband prayed for this student. And what happened a month later was there was a student that invited me over to his apartment. And so I came in there, and then I met this lady, and that was a lady. And she said, you're the one we've been praying for a month. You're staying with us. So I got to stay with them for a year. And God,
wow.
Again, God said, go and I will provide. Well, I goed, didn't I? And then he provided. But I had to do my part. And I promise you, I would have totally regretted staying here in Minnesota if I just would have missed out big time.
And what did it feel like to you to be the guy who didn't have a place to stay? And was that a humbling experience, I would imagine.
Super humbling. And at times I just felt like I was a burden.
And having been a person who had a career as a teacher and you kind of had, you were very independent to now be, to humble yourself to be in a place where you didn't know what you were going to do.
And the Lord showed me too, about 4 years ago, I got a word from two different people within a month and they saw the word sojourner. And I didn't know what sojourner meant. It's like they go from one place to another. It's like, no wonder I live in all these places. But the one thing that the Lord had blessed these people with was increase. Because every place I lived in, they experienced financial increase in their life. In fact, the friends I'm staying with right now, they have their house on the market like literally today, an open house. And they're believing that they're going to get increase. And they've already experienced it just over the last few weeks. But so I told them that. So they wanted me to stick around a little longer.
So they're selling the house.
They are selling the house.
So you'll have to find a new place to live again.
Yes, again. But again, God's provided, and He's showing me where it's going to be. I don't, you know, it'd be awesome if He just give me the address, you know, and say, okay, this is where you're going to stay.
That is so. You live your life in a different way now because you're daring to believe.
I am, and I just follow whatever the Lord wants. But I know when it's time for me to leave. I just, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with eagles, but what they do is to get the baby eagle it out, they take out all the soft stuff and they make it real uncomfortable. Well, I can just sense that, hey, I'm just feeling, Lord, is it time to get going? Yes, but He'll tell me when and where. And in fact, I taught that today is a lot of people, if they want divine connections, they need to ask the Lord that question every day, when and where. Because I can't tell you how many times I've given words to people because I was in the right place at the right time. In fact, one lady wrote a book because of that. My friend, I met at a store, and she goes, hey, can you give my friend Teresa a word? I said, sure. So I gave her a word, and all I said was two words, and she started bawling. It was red carpet. And so it was a story about her having Lyme disease, and God healed her. And so what she did was literally the next day she started writing the book. And guess what's in that book? Guess whose name is in the first paragraph? My friend Dion invited me to talk with Jeffrey, and he gave me a word. And so the word is literally in the book. So she'll take like a paragraph at a time and then tell her life story.
So what were the two questions you recommended people ask?
Where and when.
Where and when. Can you say more about that?
Yes. Not only is there divine appointments, but it can help you stay out of danger. And there was an example back November, about 2 years ago, there was a shooting in a neighborhood where I have my mail. And I didn't know that. I wasn't watching TV. And so I asked the Lord in the morning, I said, Lord, can I go get the mail now? He goes, no, I want you to wait. It's like, okay. And my brother texts me. It's like, are you okay? It's like, yeah, why? Because it was on national news. And so in the afternoon, he says, you can go now. So I went, and it was all blocked off by police because there was a hostage situation there. The bullets were flying through that parking lot I would have gone through. So that's why it's so important to ask God where you're going to go with Him and when. Because when you do that, not only is it going to give you divine appointments, but it keeps you out of danger as well.
Mm-hmm. And so now you travel a lot, and your goal is to travel regularly but you minister wherever you go, but you also minister out of your home area, right?
Yes.
And people can go on your website, and they can get teachings that you've done. They can also do a soaking prayer with you. Can you talk about soaking prayer?
I love soaking prayers. Are you familiar with Graham Cook?
Mm-hmm.
I heard about Graham Cook about 6 years ago, and his soaking prayers are amazing. And so basically what happens is he has somebody playing music, usually a violinist, and the music is awesome when they're playing a violin or a harp or something like that. And so the Lord just speaks through me a prophetic word. And so on my website, I got about 20 soaking prayers, and each of them has a little different theme, where it's trust or forgiveness or healing, God's unconditional love. And there's one in particular that has had more views than any other, and it's called God's Love for You. And it's just very relaxing, and most people, if they can't sleep at night, they'll just go to my YouTube channel and just type in God's Love for You, and it's a 17-minute soaking prayer, and before it's done, they're already asleep. And there's been so many healing testimonies, but it's something where the Lord will speak to people's hearts. a lot of times he will ask them questions so that they have a heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord during this soaking time. And people get to encounter the Lord. They get to feel his presence and his peace. And you know how much I love peace.
Mm-hmm. And so anybody could do that. They could go on your website right now and they could listen to that and be blessed.
Yes, absolutely.
That's very cool. And when you teach, like you came here and you gave a lot of prophetic words to people and you trained people to give prophetic words to each other, which we love, because the body of Christ can hear the Lord because we have Amen. The Spirit of God in us, mm-hmm. right? But you also do quite a bit of teaching. Can you tell us kind of what you like to teach about? What is your heart for people when you come to teach them?
Yeah, my favorite workshop is called How to Hear God's Voice More Clearly. And the reason I say more clearly, because I believe people are already hearing God. They just haven't learned how to find their sweet spot. They haven't been able to discern, is that God, is that the enemy, or is it me? So I teach them how to find their little sweet spot. And I always tell the joke about Michael Jr. as a Christian comedian, where he was studying the Bible and he was looking up different names of God, like Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai. And then he thought, you know what? Another name for God was something. And I'm thinking, what do you mean something? He goes, you ever had to make a decision? You know, this was the right one and this one you shouldn't make. And you made the one you shouldn't make. And then afterwards you go, man, something told me to not to do that. And that was God. And so people have already been hearing God. He's already been speaking to them. So one way I teach him is God's Wi-Fi. And God uses a lot of acronyms with me because it's easy for me to remember. And the W stands for words. Obviously, God speaks to us. Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. It didn't say that you will hear his voice or you can hear his voice. It says you hear his voice. So a lot of times he'll speak scriptures. I remember one time he used a phrase, and I thought it was so funny. The answer was supposed to be yes. You know what he said? You betcha.
You betcha.
You betcha.
He must be Minnesota.
Yeah, you betcha. And I thought, God, you're so funny. But there's times where he uses certain phrases with us. So the first one is words. The second one is images. Because people see a lot of things that the Lord gives them. And so I encourage people to, I always say, listen and watch. Because if they're not hearing something, the Lord might be showing them something. They might be able to see it. And then the F is for feelings, that you might have compassion or excitement for somebody. And I always tell people to always be led in peace. In fact, there was somebody today who says, what do I do in this situation? I said, you always have to be led by peace. And then the last one is impressions. And the example I give for an impression is like a T-shirt, where they put an impression on the T-shirt. That's what the Lord is doing. And I always encourage people that God can communicate to you with God's Wi-Fi with one or a combination of the four. So you don't have to get locked into that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And it's a conversation with the Lord, much like a person. He's not going to talk exactly the same all the time because it's a conversation.
It is. And that's one thing that I taught people today is God wants to have a dialogue with you, not a monologue. And I give you a perfect example. What happened was I was a telemarketer right after I got saved, and my supervisor pulled me aside after I had a phone call. He says, you never say that again. I said, what did I say? He said, you don't talk to Mr. Johnson, you talk with Mr. Johnson. And so we're not supposed to talk to God or at God, we're supposed to talk with him to have that conversation. And boy, when I got that revelation, it just made me want to listen more to what God is speaking.
Can you say more about that? How does a person learn to talk with God? They're not used to this stuff. Like, you know, you're a prophetic person. You are an individual who ministers in the prophetic all the time. But how would somebody get their mind around that if they didn't do that on a regular basis? How do you talk with God?
That's a great question. It's just kind of what you're doing with me. It's a Q&A with the Lord. Mm. You just ask God questions, and then you get tuned into your sweet spot, whether it's words, images, feelings, and impressions. Then he's going to respond to you, and you respond back. I remember one time when, and I had been flown in the prophetic for a few years, and the Lord had me give a word to John, and he only gave me three words. I'm thinking, Lord, what's up with that? So I gave you the three words, and I literally went like this, turned to the right, and said, what else, Lord? And then he gave me a sentence. That's all he would give me is a sentence until I shared it. And later that night, I said, Lord, why was that? Why did you just give me three words? He goes, Jeffrey, I just wanted to see if I could trust you with those three words. So we need to just be faithful and believe that what God is saying to us, whether it's to us personally or for somebody else, that it's the Lord. And some people will say, well, Jeffrey, how do I know if it's God or not? I'll just share with you what I believe God revealed to you, and then you tell me if it's God or not. That's how you can tell.
Yeah, and a person who knows the Lord has the Holy Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit will prompt them, like, that's not a good word.
It should resonate, uh-huh. You know, when
or
you
not.
Give somebody
yeah.
a word. Yeah,
that it is or isn't a good word, that, yeah, mm-hmm. that you can listen to. And a lot of that is following the peace, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because when you hear God, it sounds like you have conversations with him. The novice person in the prophetic, it has to learn what that sounds like and feels like. And mm-hmm. what I believe is God made us all as, everything about us is a receptor to the voice of God. Our feelings, our emotions, our images, and our imagination. He gave us our imagination. And everything in about our body, our memories, our sensations, they all can be communication from the Lord. But to learn how to discern that and how to sort through it is kind of a skill set sometimes.
It is. In fact, when I was in Nebraska last month, when I ministered at the Methodist Church, the Lord gave me a brand new lesson. And it was called, God, Is That You or Me?
Right. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. God, mm-hmm. Is That You or Me? Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, the first part of that message, the Lord wanted me to reveal to them that there's a liar out there, that they need to know that a lot of the thoughts they're having is not of themselves or of God, but it's the devil, and that he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So the Lord had me reveal that to them first, and then I went into, how do you know it's God's voice? Well, you hear that still, small voice on the inside. It's peaceful. But then how do you know it's you? Well, and I said, do you ever listen to yourself? Because a lot of times we say certain phrases, like, you betcha kind of thing. You just say certain phrases and you'll catch on. Or you ask your friends, what is it that I always say? What's a certain phrase so that you can tell the difference? And uh-huh. I do this every once in a while, too. If I sense something and I want, God's always going to be honest with me, but this is the answer I want. I want him to say it's me and not him. I'll say, okay, God, this is like a big decision. Is this you or me? And he'll say, that's you. It's like, okay, I'm not going to do it. But if he says it's him, I'll keep asking him to, like, okay, I'm still challenged believing him all the time when he tells me the first thing. I'll say, well, prove it to me. Show me so that I know that I know that I know that it's your voice and not mine.
And what kind of things has God done to prove it to you?
He will give me scriptures. He will give me confirmation from others. Just last month in Nebraska, he told me like a big major decision. And I told him, I said, I want confirmation from 5 people before I go back to Colorado Springs. And literally right after the service, somebody came up and asked me a specific question about that. And it's almost like the Lord's smiling at me. How'd I do? How'd I do? I said, you got 4 more. Well, I think I got 7 confirmations.
7, yeah.
Yeah, because he does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, doesn't he?
That's great. So you have a love of the Word of God, obviously. You can just tell. So do you like to read it quietly? Do you like to read it out loud? Tell us how you yourself take in the Word of God and process it and learn it. And can you tell what that looks like for you?
If you go back when I got that first study Bible back when I was 29, that I just started reading the Bible out loud because the Holy Spirit was my teacher. And it really helped me focus more on the scriptures. And so I teach people that you can...
So you would just sit like in your living room and read the whole book out loud.
Yes.
All by yourself?
Yes.
Yep.
And just listen to what Holy Spirit's telling me. So I would have that conversation with him. And I got to understand the Bible more. Obviously, you could read the notes on the bottom. Because when I was a little kid growing up in Fargo, North Dakota, we had this big, thick picture Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that growing up. Mm-hmm. I opened it up one time. I saw a picture of the devil and I slammed it shut. And that was the last time I looked at a Bible until I was 29 years old. The devil did not want me to read the Bible, obviously, because the truth is found in there. Mm. So what I share with people is God spoke one time, people wrote it down, and now it's in the Bible. So I believe we hear God guaranteed every time that we read his word out loud. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah. So tell us about some of the people that you've had really interesting prophetic words for, the way that they've been impacted by mm-hmm. your teaching, by your ministry. Tell us some of the fruit of what God's done.
I remember when I first started giving words, it just, with my experience, it's mainly women that want words from the Lord, not a lot of men for some reason.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think part of it could be they don't know that Abba Father is a good God, a loving God, and that I just think that some of the guys think that God's just going to expose something in their life that doesn't want exposed. I believe that God is a good God, and everything that he has is good. So when I share a word, it's always a good word. And so that's my thoughts. But I remember giving words to women, and they would just start weeping and crying. And it's just like...
And why do you think that was?
Because the Lord was ministering to their hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I literally did this. I closed my eyes because I didn't want to watch them cry. But now, I would say in the last 2 years, I will look away. I'll usually look above a person, and then I'll be able to kind of just get engaged in the spirit realm. Well, I'll see pictures, or I'll see words in the spirit realm, and I'm not focused on how they're responding to that word. But when I first gave my word, I was up in St. Cloud. And this was back in the late 90s when evangelists came to town. We had revival for 12 weeks, and he just believed, you know, the believers can give words, not just him. So the first time I gave a word to somebody, they went to the pastor and said that wasn't of God. So I remember one night before the service started, the pastor sat down with me and said, Jeffrey, that wasn't of God. And boy, that shut me down for like a few years. It's like, fine, be that way. Pride, of course. And then I got trained up. Mike Bickle came to the Twin Cities. They flew him up here, and this was before IHOP, and so he would train people. And so the first time I got trained up, they split us up in groups of four. So I had a guy standing next to me, and then we just kind of rotated around. So I gave a word to the guy, and then I said, so what stood out, what resonated? You know what he said? Nothing. I'm thinking, great, I'm 0 for 2. But then when we rotated, I gave a word to this woman, and then she just started weeping. It's just something happened. But my first big stretch word, you know, where you use a word that you don't normally use in a conversation, was a guy that I met. His name is Jeff, and he works for a ministry. And this is how I used to do it in the beginning, where I would listen, and then I would say it. And then I would listen, and then I would say it. Now it just flows. And I can tell you why it flows after this story, but the word the Lord gave me was animation for Jeff. And so this is what I do. The Lord says, say animation. And I wouldn't say anything. He said, say it. Still wasn't going to say it. When he said it the third time, then I would say it. I said, Jeff, does the word animation mean anything? His jaw just dropped because he's been doing animation since he was in seventh grade. That's pretty cool. God has just set me up with, you know, thousands of people, literally in like over 20 different countries. Just through word of mouth.
Yeah, and what do you think God's doing when he gives words like that just kind of break through to people? You know, like you weren't telling him anything earth-shattering they didn't know about themselves, but you were, yeah, I guess you were telling them something you didn't know about them that only the Lord knew about. So it was clear to the individual receiving a word from you that you hear from God. And God's got something to say to them through you. It's like you are God's mouthpiece in that.
Exactly. And that's what he told me, too. Mm-hmm. And I remember when he said that about 8 years ago, it's like, nope, I am not your mouthpiece. Because mm-hmm. I was not in a place to speak what he wanted me to speak. And so 1 year, I think it was August of 2013, he gave me a very unique assignment. He said, Jeffrey, I want you to post an ad on Craigslist and just ask people if they want a prophetic word. It's like, God, you know who's on Craigslist?
Yeah, that's kind of weird, Lord. Yeah.
Seriously, he said, you just asked for their first name, email address. So that was the first time I actually gave email words from people. And that's usually where people, when they get a word from the Lord through me, because I don't know them and they really don't know me, that I think they weep because it's like, God, you do know me and you're speaking through this total stranger.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't that... the way we are as human beings, we just need to know that our God is real. And we know he's real, but there's part of us that always wonders, is there more? And does he really know me? Even if God, I believe God's real, does he know me? Mm-hmm. And he's so thrilled that people will step out and help his people to know that he knows each one individually, mm-hmm. That he knows every detail of their life, strange details that no one else would know.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't even know it. And the one thing I love when I give words to people, let's say it's in a small group setting in a home, that it is the first time I get to meet somebody, and it's through God's opinion of them, through mm-hmm. God's eyes. So to me, they're all amazing. And I also like other people when they're sitting there too, because they get to hear God's opinion of them as well, especially spouses. I love when I give a word to spouses, like, man, you really are good, aren't you? You know?
Do you think that people are surprised when they know that God knows all about them and thinks they're amazing?
Yeah, they really are. And the one phrase that I think really ministers to people, is especially if they're getting trained up in the prophetic, they don't normally say this because they think, oh, they already know that. And it's this: God loves you. God loves you. And there's so many people that I've heard that have just wept just by hearing those words, that God loves you. And I think part of it is because it's literally the Lord speaking through you to that person. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to you before that when I was giving words, I would listen and then say it, listen, say it. But now it just flows out. And I asked the Lord, I said, why is that? He said, Jeffrey, it's because you've surrendered your mouth, your lips, and your tongue to me, so I can just flow effortlessly through you. And it's like, okay, that's pretty awesome.
Do you ever have people respond to you a little bit intimidated that what if they don't really want you to know all about them, or they might be scared to let you tell them what God thinks of them? Or mm-hmm. do you ever find that people are not too sure about having a prophetic word? Or
Well, the Lord showed me, because when I first started doing this, I started getting good at this back in 2013. I just wanted to give everybody a word. Want a word? Want a word? Want a word? You know, if I'd go in the bar, you want a word? Want a, it's my pickup line. Want a word? Want a word? Didn't go in a bar, but you know, that's the thing. I just was so excited to share what God's heart, His love, His thoughts to His children. And the Lord showed me, only give words to people that are open to it. I said, why? He says, because all they're doing is they're just plugging their ears and don't want to hear me if they're closed off. So it doesn't do you any good. And if you think about it, there's billions of people that are open to hearing what God has to say. You don't have to give a word to everybody. And so it's a lot easier. And like today during the workshop, I told people, on a scale of 1 to 10, as a receiver, be a 10. Because it's so much easier for the giver when you're completely wide open to receiving a word from the Lord.
Yeah, I think there's something that pulls on their gifting when you're open to it, I think.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Well, is the Lord showing you anything that you would want to release over the listeners as they're listening?
Let's find out.
Okay.
Lord, what do you want to say to the listeners right now? He's saying that I understand you. I know the details of your life. And that you guys are entering to season, and the season is a season of blossoming. I see these flowers just blossoming. And then I also see it's a season of harvest. I see like a lot of wheat, and I also see increase and a season of acceleration for the listeners. And the Lord is just simply saying, believe me. Just believe what I'm saying, because it is of me. And He's just showing me that what goes on in heaven should be happening here on the earth, because Jesus prayed that His Father's kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that heaven is a place of abundance, and that God wants you to experience abundance. But you need to realize that Abba Father is your provider. He is your El Shaddai. He is your Jehovah Jireh. And that you are not the provider of your home, whether you're the man of the house, the woman of the house. You are the steward of God's provision. And I see that the Lord is wanting you to be faithful in your stewardship right now. And the more faithful that you are, then increase will come. God says to be faithful in the little, then you're going to be faithful and ruler over much. And I just, I'm just hearing that this is a game changer for your listeners. But the Lord is saying, believe it, and it will manifest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love how you listen. That's very powerful. Can you tell us about you as an individual? People can access you by the website. You've got this ministry going on, and you are traveling, and you are ministering. But what's the stretch that's out in front of you? What's God showing you as your next season? How's God challenging you to dare to believe Him in right now in this year or this next couple years?
He's asking me to move, and He's asking me to move out of state. And He's told me the city And so I'm believing him that he's going to provide everything. Because as a, I was going to say nomad, but as a sojourner, I don't have a lot of possessions with me. So when I move, I need a furnished place in the city, but I also need a vehicle. Because somebody has a vehicle for me. It's in their ministry name, and they just been letting me drive around. So you talk about a big belief that I need to believe him for, but you know what? I have such a peace. When he told me that I was going to move, I just like, I'm still asking him to convince me. Mm-hmm. And then I just finally made the decision, okay, I'm moving.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing is you had to let go of where you were uncomfortable before you could reach out to, yes, to the thing he has for,
yes,
you.
Yes. Yeah. And I love that example too, because the Lord showed me just a few weeks ago that, you know, the phrase where it says, let go, let God, you know, I personally don't like that phrase because you're never taught how to let go. They say it, but they don't teach you how. So the Lord gave me a revelation. Is he's saying, you know, the reason why people aren't letting go is because they don't know what they're holding on to. And so through this teaching, the Lord says, I'm going to show them what they're holding on to so that they can let go. And then he's going to show them how to let go. But at the same time, once their hand is wide open, then God can start putting new things into their life. Mm-hmm. For example, let's say somebody is in unhealthy relationships and it's super obvious and the Lord's already told them, it's like that season is ending. They just need to say goodbye and just say, okay, the season is over. And once that happens, then God brings new people into life. So if your listeners want new, healthier relationships, then just ask the Lord, Lord, is there anybody in my life right now where the season's over? He loves them. He loves you. It's just the season is over. And I got somebody taught me a lesson through the Bible college just last year that people in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. A reason, a season, or for a lifetime. And I promise you, the relationships I have in January this year, many of them, I won't be in relationship come December. I'm just getting used to that. And obviously, moving out of state, I have a lot new, more healthier relationships coming my way. And I believe your listeners will too.
A reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you have some people in all those places?
For like a reason, a lot of times people, I should say I'm in their life is because they want a word from me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, that's the only reason they contact me. They'll send me an email and just ask, can I get a word? And 4 months later, they do the same thing. So I'm in there. The reason is for the Lord to speak through me into their life so that they can fulfill their destiny and know God much more intimately. A season in this case would be like Colorado Springs. It would be 10 years this August that I've lived there. That season is ending. Fluffy, soft stuff in the nest, that's all gone right now. It is feeling very uncomfortable. So I know it's time to leave. But at the same time, lifetime would be family because obviously they've been with me the whole time.
As I'm listening to you talk, the impression I get is you're much like one of the disciples in the book of Acts, that you just live your life going where God sends you, doing what God tells you, and your relationship with him is strong. And you know he'll be good to you. And it doesn't mean it's always easy, but it's always good.
It is. And, yeah. and at times it's very challenging because it's not popular with people. They don't understand. They don't agree. They don't know what it's like to literally, you know, live by faith. But I believe God created us to have a faith lifestyle. He said to walk by faith and not by sight. But a lot of times we focus on what we know and what we see and not what God has revealed to us. And imagine if we literally believed everything God told us in our hearts and in the scriptures. And imagine if we did everything that God told us to do, where would we be right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear a lot of people say to get out of your comfort zone. And the very first article I wrote was 10 years ago. It was like a month before I moved to Colorado Springs. I was living in St. Cloud. And it was called Expanding Your Comfort Zone. Because a lot of things that we do, for example, talking with people, it took us a while to figure out as a kid, but we've been talking with people our whole life. So God is expanding our comfort zone. And about 4 months ago, the Lord said, you don't need a comfort zone anymore. Because he said the comfort zone is a fear zone. You will do everything that is comfortable. But once you get past that zone, it's like you have the fear. And so that's where the devil has lied to people, that they've used that comfort zone is, I feel comfortable doing this, but everything on the outside. So imagine if we had no comfort zone, God's saying, I don't care if you're comfortable or not, do it anyway.
And that's where you're living.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Okay. Well, this has been delightful. Would you be willing, before we finish, just to pray for our listeners? You prophesied over them, but would you just pray for them and anything the Lord gives you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Absolutely. Well, Father, I just thank you for your listeners. They're all your children. You love them. And Lord, I just thank you for intimacy with them, that they are going to choose to have an intimate relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you help them to manage the distractions in their life so that they have more one-on-one time with you. And Holy Spirit, you've been sent to be their teacher, so teach them how to discern your voice and recognize your voice. And Abba, Father, I pray that you give every one of your listeners a brand new revelation of who you truly are, that you are a loving Father, you are a protective Father, that you are their strength, and that you defend them too. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for us. I pray that you give them a new revelation of what the cross means, especially forgiveness, so that they not only receive the forgiveness from you, but they can forgive themselves so that they can go forgive others. And Lord, the more that you reveal your love for them, I know that they're going to go out and just love one another, but they need to love themselves first. So I pray, Father, that you give them a deep revelation, a deeper understanding of your perfect love that casts out fear, because you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And Father, I just thank you that this year, that everybody that's listening right now will be in Ephesians 3:20 year, that you will do exceeding abundantly above all that they're asking or thinking, according to the power that's working within them for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We've been talking with Jeffrey Hardwick. His ministry is called A Transforming Word. He's out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, for now. And you can find out more about him at atransformingword.com. So this is Christy Grainer. Thank you for listening. And we continue to challenge you to dare to believe. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Listening to the Dare to Believe podcast. If you'd like more information on this podcast or upcoming events, please visit our website at daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Thank you and have a great day.